Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, we got Heather Sharone on from thedailyline.net. Heather, good to see you again.
I'm happy to be here.
And you were one of the last people to see Hamilton in Chicago.
I was. I was able to take my 10-year-old daughter, who is a huge Hamilton fan, and it was amazing to see Miguel Cervantes do it one more time. And it had the whole cast. And it was actually the third time that I've seen Hamilton.
Yeah.
So I think that qualifies me as a little bit of a super fan.
Yeah,
not
a groupie.
As big as Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who said last night she'd seen it 9 times.
Well, she probably has an in.
Well, and she's got maybe a little bit of a bigger budget, you know.
Financial purse strings that she can tug. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, you know, as a Chicagoan, it was just such an honor to have it here for so long after being in New York. And I was thrilled to hear that our Hamilton is now going to be New York's Hamilton.
That's pretty
in Broadway.
Cool stuff.
It is.
All right. So, Heather, thedailyline.net, you guys do great stuff there. And I mean, the city never sleeps. And city council doesn't either. But it was a nice couple of weeks. Not a ton of news coming out of City Hall.
It was a pretty quiet break. Mayor Lori Lightfoot was out of town. She's back now. And tomorrow, Alderman will return to City Hall for a full slate of committee meetings with all sorts of things on the docket for 2020.
Before we get to what's on the docket, let's talk a little bit about what we've been talking about the news today. The surcharge starting today. Just break it down a little bit. I know it might be complicated for some people, but it's rides to the Loop, or not in the Loop, I mean the downtown area, but
right
beyond that too.
Also, so the West Loop and the near north side. And if you get in an Uber by yourself in anywhere in that area, you're going to pay a triple fee on that.
Is it only when you get picked up in that area?
No, it's either you get picked up or dropped off in that area. So it's really designed to keep single ride hailing vehicles out of the central business district, defined writ large.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that it will raise $40 million that the city desperately needs to help close its budget gap. And it is an attempt to see if it's a way to reduce congestion. And that is, I think, a very much an open question. So we'll see if it works, and we will see whether it withstands a legal challenge that Uber has lodged against a similar fee in Skokie in the north suburbs. And if that fee is overturned there, I think you will see about 30 seconds later Chicago's fee challenged in court.
Is the argument that it's, I don't know what the argument is. What does Uber contend is wrong with it? Doesn't the city have prerogative to issue these sorts of fees?
Sure. I think one of the issues is that it doesn't apply to taxi cabs. And
oh, okay.
Uber's argument is that you can't treat us differently than taxi cabs. If this is a fee that you think is important, then it should sort of, you know, apply across the board. Also, they say there's better ways to reduce congestion. There's better ways to encourage people to take shared ride, because the other half of this is if you take a shared ride, you're going to get a little bit of a discount from what it was in 2019. So it's designed to help any number of different things, including the fact that bus ridership is down significantly.
Mm-hmm.
and train ridership. And we've seen in the data that the city publishes that so many of these single ride Uber rides are along transit routes that people could take a bus, the people could take a train, but are making a different decision because it's not that much more expensive than
mm-hmm.
getting on public transportation, but it has an environmental cost and a congestion cost.
It's interesting. So in many ways, they feel like they're going to double benefit from this. They're going to get the little tax from the folks that take the Ubers, but then for the people that don't and they choose CTA, that's going to help CTA's coffers too.
That's right. So there hasn't been a transit fee hike for the CTA in at least a couple of years. But the sense is that falling ridership is really going to have to be made up somewhere along the lines.
I wonder, you know, because I think the boundary in the north is Grand and in the west it's Ashland.
Right.
I wonder if there's going to be more people like going to Paulina or going to Superior or Erie, and you're just going to clog up those streets with people just walking the extra block or two.
The data is going to be really interesting to see. It may also raise much more money than the city would expect. And that, I think, will be a double-edged sword for the city, because I'm sure that they will be glad for the extra dollars. But I think it will show that it's not really the stick of changing people's behavior isn't really big enough, or it's not working.
It's almost like in that middle line, it's enough to hurt it a little bit, but not enough to make me change what I'm going to do. Three extra dollars. Maybe for some people, though. Do you mind if I take a phone call, Heather?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Matthew. Matthew, you're on WGN. Thoughts on the Uber, ride? You're a driver, right?
Yes, I am, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there are borderlines to the tax.
Okay.
That's what I would like to say.
Okay.
So it goes from North Avenue.
Right. Okay.
West to, I believe, around the expressway.
Mm-hmm.
Grand West through the West Loop.
Over to Ashland.
South. Yeah, basically to Ashland. Grand and Ashland.
As a driver, what do you think about this?
I'll stay in the suburbs.
Yeah.
I live in the suburbs.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Matt. I imagine a lot of drivers feel the same way, that maybe they'll just make more bang for their buck. Although, at the end of the day, like you said, if it doesn't change behavior, I imagine some people are just going to do it anyways. And now we should say that if you're doing Saturday or Sunday, it doesn't affect you, right?
Right. So it's really designed, you know, for work hours, rush hour. The other thing that people will be watching very closely is the number of trips from the south and the west sides into the loop. So if you live in a neighborhood like Chatham or Englewood, you don't have a lot of public transportation options to get to the loop. You got to change buses. You got to find a train line. So there are a lot of people who were worried that this would disproportionately impact Black and Brown Chicagoans who really didn't have any other option besides Uber or Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
So if we see a significant drop in the number of people using ride hailing to come into the loop, I think that that will also be an issue when the aldermen are sort of putting together the budget for 2021,
yeah,
whether to continue this in some way.
So you may not know the answer to this question. Does Uber and the city, I know that they have some contentious relationships, does Uber share a lot of data with the city?
Yes. Yeah, so there is a plethora of data available on the city's data portal, which shows sort of how many trips, sort of the duration, sort of how much people paid. So there's a lot of data out there that people can access to sort of figure out if this is effective or not.
I just can't see a lot of people ultimately getting up in arms for someone in the Gold Coast having to pay $3 more to get around. Yeah. I know there's a lot of other people, but I think the majority of people affected are going to be young people who go out, or the commuters that choose to go from Old Town to downtown when the Red and Brown Line does it. No problem.
That is absolutely...
The Clark bus, the LaSalle bus. Yes. Like, I mean, there are options, but the laziness, and I've been there too, where you're just like, you know, I'm in a rush, I want to sleep an extra 10 minutes, and I think those people are still going
to
do it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see. And the mayor has really made, you know, ride-hailing companies a target, saying that they sort of encourage that laziness that comes with a cost to the city and a cost to the infrastructure. So it'll be interesting to see if she continues her sort of, you know, I don't want to say attack, but targeting of the ride-hailing companies in 2021 after sort of socking it to them in 2019.
Quick thing, though. You said it's only for a single person, or is it a single, like, an Uber X? So
no.
If you have two of you going in a ride...
If it's a shared ride in any way, you don't pay the extra tax.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of times I just put, even if it's Enrique and I just put one passenger because I'm just looking for the Uber X car, but I should just change that, toggle it to two?
Right.
Okay, that's good to know. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick commercial break and then more with Heather Cerrone here on 720 WGN. Heather Cerrone from the DailyLine.net. Really quickly, Daily Line, what you guys do?
So we are your one-stop shop for all Chicago, Cook County, and state politics news. And 2020 is going to be quite a year, so you need to smash that subscribe button.
There, you smash it as hard as you can, yeah. And then you get an email, you do a morning newsletter.
That's right. So every morning at 6:15, you get all of the news you need to know about Chicago, so you can sign up for both the Chicago and the Springfield newsletter, or you can pick your poison,
all
as
right.
It were.
So pot was the big thing in 2019, one of the big things. 2020, what sorts of things are we looking forward to statewide?
So the big issue statewide is going to be the success or failure of the graduated tax income,
yeah,
question. So when we all go to the polls in November 2020 to pick the next president, Illinois voters will also be asked whether the state's income tax should be changed from a flat tax where you pay the same no matter what you make, or a graduated tax, which means that the very, very highest earner, so people making more than $250,000 a year, will pay a little bit more, and everybody else will pay a little bit less.
So it's the question on the changing the Constitution, because right now it's in the Illinois Constitution.
Right.
There's not going to be specifics in this question in terms of the rates.
There are specific rates. So the Illinois General Assembly adopted rates to say this is exactly what would happen if this ballot measure passes in November 2020. So it's all there, so people can sort of see, and Governor Pritzker, his website has sort of the calculator. You can put in your annual salary and see what it would mean for you.
So here's where I'm confused. If they're trying to amend the Constitution, I'm surprised that it's not just more of a generic question, that they're actually going to put the rates there in writing, because then that assumes that once they change it, they still would have to get this through legislatively through the normal means, right? Or would that automatically trigger it?
It automatically triggers. Those rates have already been approved by
okay.
the General Assembly. So they sort of did the whole thing at once. They said, here, we're putting this question to voters, and if this question is approved by voters, here's what goes into effect. And the governor says it's going to raise about $3.4 billion for the state, and it will help the state do two things. One, pay down its multi-billion-dollar backlog, which was sort of created by the two-year budget impasse, and it will help the state start paying down its massive pension debt.
It's so fascinating to me, because normally when we have referendum questions, they're a little bit more general, or they're not even binding. They're just a suggestive
right.
sort of question. Here is like the truest form of democracy. You have the bill that went through the legislature at your fingertips. I mean, whichever side you land on, that is rare to
vote
on a specific piece of legislation.
Now, if I were an opponent of the graduated tax, I would say, well, there's nothing that binds the General Assembly to those tax rates. They could say, okay, we're going to keep those rates for a year, and then, surprise, everybody's income tax rate is going to go up dramatically now that we have the power to change these. So that is going to be a lot of the argument. Like, essentially, can we trust that these will actually be the rates for more than a year?
Mm-hmm.
The other question is that nobody quite knows what's going to happen with the swirling corruption investigations in Springfield. You know,
corruption in Springfield.
I know, shocking.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is can Governor Pritzker and his allies convince Illinois voters that they will basically spend this money well, and that it's not going to be siphoned off or, you know, misused or misspent. And you're going to see a lot of Illinois Republicans who oppose this vociferously saying that basically state government isn't trustworthy.
You know, so the tax bracket, I know you probably don't have it right in front of you, but I know it's like, what, 4.95 would go up to 7.25? Is it
right.
directly over the 250,000 mark, or is there kind of graduated levels?
It does go graduated up. So if you make $250,000 plus $1, you're not going to pay like the full amount.
Right.
It does sort of, you know, step up a little bit.
Okay, so what else citywide? I know you mentioned that we've got committee meetings and other stuff like that starting on up.
Well, so Mayor Lori Lightfoot still says that she's going to keep rolling back the power of aldermen to sort of have the final veto in their wards. And now she's got to sort of, you know, do it. And the heart of that power is in the city's zoning code. And I know people across Chicago just fell asleep as I said the word zoning. But basically, it's the rules that determines whether you can build a high rise or an apartment building or a business on any given piece of land. And right now, if an alderman in a ward says, nope, don't want it, it doesn't go. So the mayor will have to rewrite the city's zoning code and reverse decades of culture at City Hall to really change that. And that is very much an open question.
Well, and get the alderman that she's trying to take the power away from, get them to be the ones to vote on it.
That's right. So it is a tall order. And at the same time, she's got to find a new police superintendent to replace Eddie Johnson. She still has to deal with sort of ongoing tensions with the Chicago Teachers Union, which, of course, went on strike for 11 days in 2019. And oh, by the way, the city's budget deficit for 2021, even though we closed an $838 million budget deficit just a couple months ago, is close to $1 billion.
Oh, on the books already,
projected. So that's going to be tough. And yeah. she's going to have to ask Springfield for a number of different items, including new rules for a potential Chicago casino.
Do you think that she wields the sort of support or power, I guess you could say, as when she first walked in? Or do you think that the teacher strike really kind of set some people on edge about how she's done and given her the power to move forward?
Well, there's no doubt that the biggest concentrated source of opposition to the mayor has been the city council's progressive aldermen. So not only the six socialist aldermen, but also the progressive caucus writ large. So there were 11 aldermen who voted against the budget. So that's sort of the core of the support. And the question is, can those aldermen sort of grow that to present more of an obstacle? Or can the or has the mayor sort of struck a balance between sort of the conservatives on the city council and those progressives? And is she sort of in the middle? But it is an interesting situation that you have a mayor who came into office promising to chart a much more progressive course than former Mayor Rahm Emanuel finds herself opposed, really not at every turn, but for her big initiatives by the heart of the progressive movement in Chicago.
One thing that she advocated for, as other people before have as well, is being more balanced in her appointees. And how is she doing on that report card?
Funny you should ask. That was the subject of the Daily Lines newsletter this morning.
So I may have opened up the website and saw that and just led with that question.
So I did an analysis of her appointees, and they are split almost exactly down the middle between men and women and white people and people of color. So she is, you know, she has promised to make her appointees look like Chicago, to do the business of Chicago. And she is right on that, which is a difference than Mayor Rahm Emanuel's first term, where the majority of his appointees were male and white.
Where are we at with the gambling situation, the casino that is supposedly coming eventually here to Chicago?
So the mayor has to go back to Springfield to get new gambling legislation passed that changes the tax structure for the casino. So right now, if a Chicago casino appeared out of the blue, the operators would pay an effective tax rate of 72%. The mayor says that means nobody's going to want to build that casino. Nobody's going to want to invest in that casino. So she has asked the state legislature to change the laws to make it more attractive. However, that bill, which passed in the waning hours of the spring session, is a Christmas tree. Every little ornament was hung on there to get it through. So it's very difficult to change it without pulling the whole thing down on your head. And you have the perennial argument from downstate lawmakers, why would I help Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
And why would I help Chicago in an election year?
Right.
So that's really tough, and there's no doubt that the governor is laser focused on getting this graduated income tax passed.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also pledged to help the mayor because the city's budget really, really needs revenue from a casino in 2021 and 2022.
Yeah, when you start talking about these deficits, I know people hate paying extra taxes. I know people don't like it, but gotta close this one way or another. Let's do you mind going back to the Uber thing for one second? Frank on the line has a good question. Frank, you're on WGN.
Hey, I have a question. There's four locations that get taxed, both airports, Midway and O'Hare, McCormick Place and Navy Pier. If you're by yourself, or whether you're with four people in your party, you get the same rate, no matter if it's one person in your party or four. But if you're traveling from the Loop to the airport, you're already getting almost a $6 tax just for traveling to the airport. So if you're going by yourself, is Lightfoot putting an additional $3 tax on top of the airport tax going to the airport?
Correct.
So that would be almost a $10 fee just in Chicago taxes?
Correct. Any single ride that originates in that central business district downtown area, wherever it goes, gets that extra tax. And if you're going to the airport, you also pay that airport fee. Or McCormick Place.
So now, has Uber changed their platform by asking how many people are in your party? Because when you do a shared ride, currently, you're only allowed two people in a shared ride. Because usually, most cars only have four seats, so it's five seats, the driver and then four passenger seats. So is Uber and Lyft now asking how many people are in your party?
You know, I don't know. Yeah. I haven't tried it so far this morning.
Yeah, that's a great question, yeah. Frank. We got to get going over to the news, and I'm sorry I don't have an answer for you. I think it says on the line here you're an Uber driver. I would guess I would ask Uber, because that's an interesting question, is could I change it to say that I'm going to have two people in my party, and then driver shows up, and no, it's just me. I'm sure they've worked out a way to make sure that we still pay one way or another.
One way or the other,
they're going to get you. That is interesting. I mean, you're talking about $9 now going from downtown to the airport. Sounds like you should take the blue line at that point. Not that that's the most reliable thing. Oh, and then when you get there, the people mover's not ready to move you anywhere. Oh, Chicago. Heather, got about 30 seconds left. Any one big story you can't wait to talk about this year?
Well, Ed Burke is back in front of a federal judge in a couple of weeks, and we should know whether he will continue to sort of await trial or if they will actually set a trial date. Everybody wants to know when that will all come to a head. He faces 14 counts of corruption charges. He has pled not guilty.
And that's going to involve a lot of other people besides him.
It sure will.
Who will be called to that trial if it happens? Ooh, that'll be one that everyone's watching, including the great folks at thedailyline.net. Heather Cerrone, 10 seconds, your elevator pitch.
Thedailyline.net, your one-stop shop for city, county, and state politics and policy news.
And I got to say that the county stuff doesn't often get the plugs that it needs, but it's some good coverage there too.
It's a lot. It's a huge budget that covers a lot of people. It's really important.
Thanks for stopping by, Heather.